100 years ago this month, Colorado State University started its extension service. Back then, extension agents often worked with homesteaders who struggled to farm in conditions much drier than they were used to back east. A century later, agents are witnessing a different trend: city dwellers who want to produce food in their backyards or who are buying small farms to escape city life altogether. Joining us is longtime agent Bruce Bosley. He's been working with farmers and ranchers in Northeast Colorado for 25 years. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, Ryan.
You work in Logan County, and this is where Colorado's first extension agent, D.C. Bascom?
That's right.
That's where he worked.
Yeah. He was hired October 1st, 1912.
What was his job like 100 years ago?
Well, he came from a teaching perspective. So he used to teach at the high school level. And what he ended up doing was he would take his information out and talk with farmers. And I think in that first full year of extension work, he visited 228 farms. And at first he had a horse and buggy, but I think pretty quickly they figured out he needed some kind of motorized transportation. So he got a motorized vehicle. And I think his extension report that year said he traveled something like 14,000 some odd miles, which is pretty close to what we still do today.
What are the kinds of things he'd be teaching farmers who were also at that point just like early homesteaders, right?
Well, a lot of them had come from the east, come from wetter climates. They had to adapt to dry climates. And so if they just went out and put seed in the ground without any preparation, usually those crops would fail. Or if they got any yield at all, it was very poor. So he taught the idea of putting summer fallow prior to planting wheat.
Resting the land.
Yeah, resting the land, essentially keeping any moisture that comes down in the form of precip or snowfall or rainfall in the soil so that it's available for that crop that you plant in September.
Is it only farmers he would work with?
His specific job was to work with farmers and ranchers, but he also worked with their children. Through children, they could educate adults. If they could get kids to do kids clubs with raising corn or raising livestock, I think in his first year, he did a lot with chickens. He'd give the children something like 20 eggs to hatch out and then to raise. And using the practices that were recommended by the university at that time, then
the idea would be it would filter up
that's right,
to the
that's
parents.
Right.
What about working with wives?
Well, D.C. Bascom didn't work directly with the wives, but he brought in other people he knew who were good educators who could also then teach things to the wives, good skills in terms of preparing meals, cooking, using the produce off the farm, as well as important things like being able to call chickens. You needed to have them come in so that they could be fed and also put in the roost for night.
And there is a right and a wrong way to call chickens?
I guess there was. I don't know how to do it. I'm not...
This does not occupy your time today.
That's right.
Which brings us to the question of what it is like to be an extension agent
now. In a lot of respects, for me, it's very similar. Still, it's a direct one-on-one type relationship. But I'm one of the about three or four people in Colorado that still work primarily with production agriculture. Most of the extension agents who work in an agriculture role now work with the small acreage landowners. That's been a big change. More people are moving out. They're buying their 40 acres or 20 acres or 2 acres, and they've never worked on a farm before, so they need that kind of information too.
What else occupies your time as an extension agent?
I do a lot with farmers on testing new varieties, especially with wheat, but we also do a lot with cropping systems, looking at how to manage different rotations, different tillage strategies, or no-till strategies to store moisture, to protect the soil, but also improve profitability.
The idea is you can be growing something kind of alternately, I guess.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And that improves both the use of the land and the pocketbook, I suppose.
In the old days, farmers would primarily, on dry land, it would be wheat 1 year, fallow the next year, and then going back to wheat. That was a lot of empty land that wasn't farmed. Now they're going with millet and sunflowers and corn, many other crops. We're also seeing the emergence of small market crops. I've just talked with a fellow today about blue corn.
Blue
I guess
corn.
Four blue corn tortillas. You've seen those.
Yes, and the chips, too.
Yeah, and the chips. They're all grown on dry land, and it's just kind of an interesting niche.
You talked about it almost sounded like city folk moving out and buying their 20 acres.
You betcha.
But of course, we also know that on the plains especially, towns have really contracted. You know, rural communities have really contracted, and there's been an exodus. So are those two competing forces? What's going on there?
Yeah, they're two competing forces. The closer you are to a large city, more people have bought land out in the country. They may farm a little bit. They may not necessarily farm. They may just have horses. But in very far rural counties, some of the eastern Colorado counties, we've actually seen a decline in population.
Do you think the focus on local foods is a shot in the arm for extension?
Sure, sure. That area that I talked about with the small farms, that's mostly working toward providing food locally for the people who want to buy that kind of niche.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
Ryan. Happy anniversary to you and your organization.
It's a good time to be an extension.
Bruce Bosley is a longtime extension agent in Logan County. He talked to us about the 100th anniversary of CSU Extension. Coming up Monday, we'll hear more about extension's work with city farmers.